Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabe, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Ma'am?
Sure.
Lieutenant Lank, given what you believed at the time and the possibility that there was a fight or whatever, did you logically think, in your mind, your state of mind was, it possibly could have started in the house?
If it had been of confrontation, it could have started anywhere.
Right. The house is part of anywhere, right?
Correct.
So, in other words, the house is not excluded in your mind at that point as a starting point for the investigation. Is that right?
Well, the starting point would have been where Mr. O'Keefe had been discovered, and then based on speaking with the witnesses, there was no indication that he had ever made it into the house.
Well, you didn't know that until you followed up on your investigation, correct?
Well, I learned that by speaking to Ms. McCabe.
So you just took Ms. McCabe's word for it?
At that point in time, that was the only person I had spoken to, and she gave me a timeline of events from that night where Mr. O'Keefe was supposed to come back to the house, but never made it.
Have you ever been in your course of investigating cases, have you ever been lied to by a witness?
Objection, Your Honor.
Can you answer that? Have you ever been lied to by a witness?
Yes.
So it's not necessarily the best investigative technique to just take a witness's word for something, correct?
Objection.
That's sustained.
You need to actually investigate the circumstances for yourself and to your own satisfaction. Is that a fair statement?
Sure.
One of those investigative techniques would be to walk into the house and figure out who's who there, correct?
Can you rephrase the question?
Sure. One of those investigative techniques to satisfy yourself that you're actually getting to the truth of the matter would be to walk into the house and figure out who's in the house first.
I will agree that I needed to speak to the people in the home. I can't just walk in their house. I have to announce myself, and they don't have to let me in.
I understand. I'm not trying to parse those words. I just mean entering the home and interviewing witnesses. That would be a normal part of your investigation initially, correct?
Yes.
And you also knew that the most obvious place to look for witnesses that may have information about a fallen man in the snow would be 30 feet away in the home, correct?
Correct.
So once you're inside the residence, you walk in the front door, correct?
Yes.
You indicated that there's a stair that services the second floor. Is that right?
Straight ahead, yes.
Right. Just before the staircase, there's a door to your left, right?
I don't recall.
You remember that there's a door that when you open it, goes directly downstairs to the basement.
I don't recall.
You indicated on direct examination that you didn't notice anything. I'm paraphrasing, so forgive me. You didn't notice anything out of place in the home.
No.
But you didn't go downstairs to the basement and look, did you?
No.
Didn't look for broken furniture down there?
I didn't enter the basement at all.
You didn't look for torn clothing down there?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
How about anywhere in the house? Did you look for broken furniture or torn clothing or blood evidence or DNA evidence?
At that point in time, I never made it past the front foyer area.
So the answer to my question is no, you did not.
I never made it past the front foyer area.
So if I were to ask you one more time, I know you never made it past the foyer. Did you ever investigate the foyer area or any other part of the house for evidence of a fight?
The only area I was able to observe at that point, everything appeared to be in order.
But you didn't search the rest of the house for a fight, Lieutenant. That's all I'm asking.
No, I wouldn't have had probable cause to do so.
And did you seek guidance from a court as to whether or not you might have probable cause?
Do you mean a search warrant?
That's what I mean.
I wouldn't fill out an affidavit for a search warrant because it wouldn't have probable cause.
In your mind, there was no PC to search that house, right?
Objection.
Let's move on from this.
One of the ways to secure a premises, any premises in a normal crime scene investigation, would be to remove the witnesses and animals from that premises to sort of freeze it and lock it down, correct?
If there was reason to do so, yes.
Okay. Were the witnesses in this case asked to come outside the house in order to freeze the house down as a potential crime scene?
No.
Were any animals removed in order to freeze and lock down the house as a potential crime scene?
I didn't observe any animals.
Did you... And this is the last question on this issue. Did you do anything to lock down and secure that premises, the inside of the house, in any way, shape, form, or fashion?
Can you rephrase that, please?
Sure. Did you do anything to lock down and secure that premises in any way, shape, form, or fashion?
No.
Did you allow witnesses to go inside the house other than Jim McCabe?
Yes.
Who is that?
I believe Matt McCabe entered the house after I had come out.
And did you seek to separate any of the witnesses or admonish them that they are not to be in each other's presence and discuss the facts of the case before you had an opportunity to interview them?
No.
And as you sit here, you have no idea when you were not in their presence, you have no idea what the occupants of that house were discussing.
Correct.
Or what they were doing.
I have no idea what they were doing.
I have just a moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
Given the fact that you were the first law enforcement officer inside the house, did you seek to photograph anything inside the house?
When you say I was the first law enforcement officer, I was with Sergeant Good. Both of us walked in at the same time.
That's fair. I don't mean to be vague, but you were sort of leading the discussion, correct, with the interviews?
Yes.
At least according to Sergeant Good, you were taking charge.
Sure.
As the first law enforcement officer to take charge inside the house, did you seek to photograph that?
No.
Is this that location?
No, I did not.
Did you make any drawings or diagrams of the layout of the house?
No, I did not.
Did you know where the furniture was or was not?
I don't know what you mean.
Did you note in a diagram where furniture was? There's a dining room table here. It's got six chairs. There's a kitchen table over there.
No, I did not.
Did you note in any document where the individuals were, the human beings were, in relation to each other when you walked in the house?
Are you asking me where I were, or did I make
I'm
a diagram?
Asking whether or not you documented that.
No.
Okay. Had you been told at the time that you went in the house that John O'Keefe was found out in the yard that there was a shoe missing, his right shoe was missing?
No.
You didn't have that information yet?
I did not.
Did you subsequently learn that?
I learned that much later after we had already cleared the area.
Tell me what much later means. Days, hours, weeks?
I honestly couldn't give an exact answer on that.
I think I know the answer to this, but you didn't do any search for any missing clothing from the victim inside the house?
I did not.
Last series of questions on this issue. You understand the importance of electronic devices in modern investigations, correct?
Yes.
iPads, cell phones, things of that nature.
Sure.
Because they can record things like photographs, videos, conversations, text messages, and emails.
Yes.
Would you consider electronic devices relatively vital in modern law enforcement investigations?
I'm sorry, violent?
Vital.
Critical. Yes. Yes.
Right. They're critical items of evidence, right?
Yes.
It's like walking around with your entire life in your palm of your hand, correct?
Correct.
Did you seek to secure any electronic devices from any of the occupants of that house that morning?
No.
Did you ask for consent to look through their electronic devices, for instance, their cell phones, for text messages or communications?
No.
Did you believe, turning back to a question that you were asked by Mr. Lally, you did in fact interview Brian Albert at the scene, correct?
Yes.
You also interviewed his wife?
Yes.
Did you believe at any point before you interviewed Mr. Albert that it was incumbent upon you to let your supervisors know that there may be a conflict of interest because of a personal relationship that you had with the family?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you ever, in fact, not whether you believed it was important, but did you ever, in fact, notify any of your superiors at Canton PD or any other law enforcement agency that you had a personal relationship with the Albert family or members of the Albert family?
I did not.
You indicated that you believe you spoke to Mr. Albert and his wife, Nicole Albert, for maybe 15 to 20 minutes. Is that what you said?
Roughly.
Did you record that conversation?
I did not.
You had your cell phone with you, correct?
Yes.
You know that has recording capability?
Yes.
Was anybody else with Nicole, when I say with, I mean in earshot of Nicole and Brian Albert when you interviewed either one of them or both of them?
Jennifer McCabe.
So you interviewed them together?
Yes.
Did you then interview Jennifer McCabe?
I had spoken to Jennifer McCabe outside, to the best of my memory. I believe once we were inside, I was able to get some more information from her based on the chronological order of events.
And when you were getting this information about the chronological order of events, that was within earshot of Brian Albert and Nicole Albert?
Yes.
So when you interviewed Brian Albert, Nicole and Jennifer McCabe were listening, correct?
Yes.
When you interviewed Nicole Albert, Brian Albert and Jennifer McCabe were listening.
Yes.
And when you got this chronological layout of the night before from Jennifer McCabe, Brian and Nicole were both listening.
Yes.
After you met with the three of them and interviewed them, you indicated that you came back. You'd already left, you came back. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, so forgive me. When you came back, it was around 9 a.m.?
No. I came back just moments later.
Had you actually left? I may be a bit confused, so I apologize. Had you actually left and driven back to Canton PD?
No.
Okay, so you just came back in the house?
When Mr. McCabe entered the house?
No, I'm so sorry. I'm jumping ahead, so that's unfair. You left, now we're at the point where you've already cleared the crime scene.
Okay.
And then at some point you get called back.
Yes.
Because Ms. McCabe said she had additional information she wanted to impart.
Yes.
When you interviewed Ms. McCabe that second time, were Brian and Nicole Albert there?
Yes.
Were they within earshot?
Yes.
And they listened to that conversation as well?
Yes.
After that conversation, did you meet with any other witnesses between February 29th, later in the day, January 29th, any time until February 4th?
No.
None?
No.
I do want to talk for a second, just a brief second, about setting up a crime scene outdoors. You indicated that the crime scene was relatively secure, was your word. It was relatively secure because there were patrol cars or cruisers sort of around the perimeter
Yes.
of the yard. Is that right?
That's correct.
The crime scene tape wasn't working because it was windy?
Crime scene tape was up, but it was being blown all over the place.
Okay. And of course, Canton PD has the ability to go get stakes and just hammer some stakes into the dirt if you wish to.
No.
You don't have stakes at Canton PD?
No, we
mean stakes. E-S-T-A-K-E-S.
I know what a steak is. No, we don't have any.
Canton PD doesn't have those.
Okay. No. So
if the crime scene tape was blowing down, that was just sort of a let's give up on it. Wasn't doing any good.
No.
In your mind, it was futile.
The crime scene tape was futile, yes.
Okay.
It was left up until we made the determination to take it down, but it wasn't really doing its job.
All right. And once the scene was cleared, all those cruisers that were protecting that crime scene were now gone, right?
Yes.
And all the cruisers were gone by about 7:50 in the morning, 7:50, 7:55.
Yes.
So before 8 a.m., that crime scene was completely open. I'm sorry, after 8 a.m., that crime scene was completely open.
Yes.
Unsecured.
Yes.
And available to anybody who wanted access to it.
Correct.
One of the reasons to secure a crime scene is to minimize the possibility of evidence destruction on one hand, correct?
Yes.
And evidence tampering on the other hand, right?
Sure.
And examples of evidence tampering could be just moving a piece of evidence.
Objection, Aaron.
That's overruled. Just not too much further with this, though.
I've just got a couple of quick questions about this.
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. An example or a couple of examples of evidence tampering could be something as simple as moving a piece of evidence, moving it from here to here, correct?
That would be tampering, yes.
Hiding evidence, getting rid of it, right?
Yes.
Taking evidence out of the scene or putting evidence back into the scene, correct?
Yes.
Or even planting evidence that didn't exist before. All of those would be examples of tampering with evidence.
Yes.
And setting up a proper crime scene minimizes or eliminates the possibility for that.
Setting up a crime scene would eliminate. Could you say that again, please?
Sure. Setting up securing a proper crime scene minimizes or tries to eliminate the possibility of that type of evidence tampering, obviously.
It would, but at this point in time, we weren't aware. At this point in time, state police had said they weren't responding. So there was no longer an area to preserve at that point.
So in your mind, Well, let me phrase it a different way. What that means is, after 8 a.m., that scene was just open.
It was.
You found both the blood that we saw pictures of and the cocktail glass that we were just introduced to this morning, correct?
Yes.
You searched the area that was adjacent to where you believed the body was. Is that right?
We searched, I would say, about a 6x6 or 7x7 area.
6x6 or 7x7?
Roughly. 6 feet on each side.
Right. You were looking for, obviously, anything that was out of place, anything that didn't belong.
Yes.
Like a man's size 12 shoe would have caught your attention?
It would.
A black baseball cap would have caught your attention?
It would.
Piece of plastic broken probably would have caught your attention?
Yes.
Certainly 45 pieces of plastic would have caught your attention.
Yes.
And between you and Officer Seraph, Sergeant Good, Officer Mullaney, Lieutenant Gallagher, none of that was found.
The only things we found were the stuff, were the things that were documented.
You did find the blood, however, is that right?
Yes.
Who literally, physically leaned down and scooped that blood up?
Me.
And that was done in a plastic Solo cup that we've heard a little bit about.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
You're aware that those Solo cups are unsealed?
I believe Lieutenant Gallagher got them out of a sealed package.
When I say unsealed, I mean they don't have a lid on them. They're not airtight containers.
Correct.
So once you scoop up the snow and the dirt and the debris and the grass and everything else, along with the blood, they're just open for just open to the air.
Yeah, there was snow and blood. There was no dirt and debris in the glass that I can recall.
You're sure about that? There's no dirt and snow?
I didn't observe any, no.
You didn't observe any dirt and snow? You don't think there's dirt and snow?
I didn't observe any dirt in the glass. Cup.
Okay. Certainly wasn't a sterile cup.
No.
Certainly wasn't a crime scene cup.
No.
You're aware that the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab warns against collecting any biological material in anything made of plastic, correct? Are you aware of that?
No.
When you scooped up the blood, did you videotape that process so we know exactly which blood stain was scooped up from where?
I don't recall if it was videotaped, but we did not document which scoop went in which cup.
Okay. So if there was multiple contributors to blood, sorry, multiple contributors of the blood, we'd sort of have no idea which blood drop belonged to whom, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Once these unsealed cups were in your possession, what did you do with them?
The cups were placed into the Toyota Tundra that I was driving that day and ultimately returned back to the police station.
Okay, and you talked a little bit about the process once you returned back to the station. They were put in a brown evidence bag, correct?
Yes.
And ultimately, when you log these items into the, tell me the name of it again, it's the temporary evidence?
The blood was put in temporary evidence refrigerator.
Okay, inside the evidence bag. Cups are still inside the evidence bag and it's logged in.
I don't recall that. I'm not sure if I took them out or not. I don't recall.
You indicated that there's an item number or property number that's assigned to them.
Yes.
There is generated a seal or a label to go on the evidence that's being stored, correct?
It should, yes.
And the bag is sealed. The evidence bag is sealed like this red tape that we see on this thing, correct?
When possible, there are certain items that can't be bagged, and then sometimes you create a tag and attach it to a tag.
Right, but if it's a brown paper bag that's an evidence bag, you certainly just fold over the edge of it and just put a red evidence seal on it to make sure that that's secure and not tampered with, correct?
That would be one way to do it, yes. I don't recall if I left them in the bag or took them out of the bag. I don't recall.
If you left them in the bag, you likely would have, if you're booking them into evidence, you likely would have used some red crime scene, not crime scene tape, evidence tape.
If I had left them in the bag, I would have put the property label right on the bag.
So everybody could see it?
Yes.
Okay, there's an evidence bag with important evidence in it. Don't mess with it. It's secure, correct?
Yes.
Can we have tab 23? Do you recognize the what's depicted in this exhibit?
I believe it's Ms. Reed's vehicle.
For the record, you're looking at what's been previously marked as Exhibit 37. You see the little white rag down there by the right rear quarter panel?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to tab 24. You see that white rag?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Did you see a bag sitting next to it?
I do.
Doesn't look like an evidence bag, does it?
No, it looks like a Stop and Shop bag.
Actually,
it looks like an evidence bag. It just doesn't say Canton Police on it. It says Stop and Shop, but it does look like an evidence bag. It's the same thing.
That's a grocery bag.
It is. And that's exactly what our evidence bags look like, so that's what I thought it was at first.
Right, except it doesn't say anything about evidence on it. It says Stop and Shop, correct?
Correct.
What do you think's in that evidence bag? I'm sorry, Stop and Shop bag.
I'm not sure.
You were when these pictures were taken?
I could tell that it's the Canton Police Sallyport, so it's some point after the state police had seized the vehicle.
And at some point after you had brought the Solo Cups back to the station.
Correct.
Matter of fact, these were taken on February 1st when Canton, the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab finally took possession of these items of evidence, correct?
I was not in the police station for those 2 days.
Let's look at the next tab, tab 25. You recognize that?
It appears to be Solo Cups with substance inside.
Are those just any Solo Cups, or those the Solo Cups that you took back to the station from 34 Fairview?
I mean, I couldn't say definitively, but it certainly looks like it.
It appears that they have red liquid material floating in the bottom?
Yes.
It appears to be blood?
The top three I can see, the only two I see that don't have it are the bottom two left.
Okay. Let's look at the next tab, which is 26. And you see somebody with gloved hands opening that bag? Same bag, little white rag right there?
I do.
Okay. That appear to be the same six Solo Cups?
That you just showed me in the previous slide?
Yes.
Yes.
So are those the same six Solo Cups that you gathered at the scene at 34 Fairview and ultimately brought back to Canton PD?
They certainly appear like they are, but I can't say definitively, but they appear to be.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your words. Go ahead.
They appear to be the same Solo Cups, but I couldn't say definitively.
Let's go back to tab 24. And the reason you can't say definitively, Lieutenant, is because there is no label on this bag, is there?
Not on that side of it, no.
There is no property number on this bag, is there?
Not on the side that's visible to me, no.
There's no evidence tape on this bag, is there?
Not on the side that's visible to me, no.
Well, let's look at the other photographs. Before we do that, are you suggesting that all of that material is on the other side of this bag?
I don't know. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm telling you I don't know.
Okay, let's look at the next lab, next tab. Looking at it from the top, does it appear anywhere from that vantage point that there's evidence tape that's ever been put on that bag, that has ever been secured?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that.
Well, one of the ways that you can tell that evidence tape has been put on an item is because when the evidence tape is placed on it, It's completely sealed. And if, in fact, it's, that seal is ever broken, it's not torn off, it's cut, and there's initials put on, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Have you ever used evidence tape before? To seal anything?
I'm sure I have. I don't recall off the top of my head.
How long have you been a detective? I'm sorry, how long were you a detective when you were a detective?
I was a detective for 11 months as a sergeant, and then I was a detective for 15 months back in 2011-12.
And in your experience, and how long have you been a police officer?
Over 24 years.
So in your 24 years of experience and over a year as a detective, you can't remember if you've ever used evidence sealing tape?
As I said, I'm sure I have. I just can't recall one off the top of my head.
When, if you believe you, if you can recall using it at all, isn't the protocol that when evidence sealing tape is used to seal an item of evidence, when it's removed, it's not torn off, it's cut, and then new sealing tape is put over it with an initial and a date, correct?
Objection.
Do you know the answer to that?
I don't.
Okay, next question.
Thank you. That's all I have for this.
Okay, I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
Sure.
You lost that with them. Jim. We're bringing them over. Yes, please.
Please, please. Surprise for the jury. Back in session, you may be seated.
All right, Mr. Jackson, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. That's all I have at this time.
Okay. Mr. Lally?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, sir, with regard to incident you were asked about from August of 2002, can you explain, in your own words, what happened?
So I had left the establishment, Centerfields is what it was called at the time, and the owner had asked me if I could drive a patron home who had too much to drink, so I obliged. Walked across the street to the parking lot, got in my truck with the patron, And as I was pulling out, that's when Mr. Albert approached my truck and told me how he had been in an altercation earlier in the evening with Mark Lapalato, and that Mark had made threats towards him and his family, that he was going to harm his family. They had a young child at the time. Mr. Albert was concerned and asking me what he should do. Excuse me. As I was telling him what I think he should do, he said something to the effect of, "Oh no, here they come." And I observed multiple men walking down the sidewalk in our direction. At this point, I got out of my truck, approached the group, and pleaded with them. I said, "Guys, not tonight. He's by himself. He's with his wife, girlfriend. There's not going to be a fight tonight." And I did my best to defuse the situation, but they weren't having it. They made several attempts to push past me. Ultimately, a wrestling match ensued. Mr. Lapalato at one point said, "I know who you are. I don't give a fuck." And asked me what I was going to do about it. A wrestling match ensued. I was punched. And at that point, I defended myself and did engage in a physical altercation with Mark.
Now, you were asked about sort of timing of reports. You didn't write a report until a couple days later, is that correct?
That's correct.
Why was that?
I had spoken to the shift supervisor that night, and I asked him if he wanted me to return and generate a report at that point. And he advised me that I could do it the next time I was at work, which was a couple of days later.
And as far as the police responding to that parking lot that night, how were they notified, if you know?
I had yelled across the street when the group was trying to push its way past me. I yelled across the street to the bartender, and the owner had made their way out onto the sidewalk street area. I yelled across the street and I said, "Call the police, call the police." And they ultimately called 911.
Now, what, if any, relevance or factor did any of that have in your minds in regard to your response and interviews or anything that you did on January 29th, 2022?
Absolutely nothing.
And in fact, that involved Christopher Albert in 2002, correct?
Yes, it did.
And you were at Brian Albert's residence in 2022, correct?
Correct.
And just to be clear, just because their last name is Albert, they're separate people. You have separate relationships with each of those persons, correct?
Correct.
Now, you grew up in the town, you work in the town. Fair to say you go to calls regarding people that you know?
Yes.
Whether that be witnesses, people that you arrest, any of the like, correct?
Correct.
Now, with regard to the questions that you were asked about Mr. O'Keefe, just to be clear, you never laid eyes on Mr. O'Keefe's body at any point in time on January 29th or thereafter, correct?
No, I didn't.
You were asked some questions about, on the cruiser cam video, whether you were on the phone. You indicated that you could make an educated guess as to who you were on the phone with. Who would that be?
Lieutenant Gallagher.
And so at the time that you're on the phone from that video, Lieutenant Gallagher was not on scene yet, correct?
Correct.
Now, with respect to the weather on that day, you talked about a bit about sort of the weather as you were on scene. During the time that you were on scene, did it essentially persist in the same manner?
Yes.
And then later on that day, what, if any, change occurred with regard to the weather?
As I recall, while we were there, it stayed the same. It was, if anything, it might have gotten even worse.
And from your memory of that day, did that continue throughout the course of the day while you were working?
Yes.
Now, with regard to in the house at 34 Fairview Road, each of those occasions, if you could, with respect to the three occasions that you went inside the house to speak to people, where were those people within the house?
The first time I went in, Brian Albert and Nicole Albert were located, I believe, on the stairs or sitting possibly at some point on the stairs. Jen McCabe was to my right. The second time I went back in, was also through the front door, and it was the same positioning, except this time Matt McCabe was present, and Matt was also to my right.
And then on the third occasion, when yourself and Lieutenant Gallagher came back to speak to Ms. McCabe further?
We went in through the door to the right, so it's to the right of the main door. We went in through that door and stayed in like the dining kitchen area, and that's where I spoke with Jennifer.
And that third time that you went back and you spoke with Jennifer, where was Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, Matthew McCabe, any of those parties that were there before, if you know?
They were present. I actually don't recall if Matthew McCabe was there the third time. Brian and Nicole were definitely there. I believe they were in the general vicinity, but I couldn't tell you exactly where they were.
And same thing when you went back on that third occasion. What, if anything, did you note as far as the interior of the house, anything askew, anything out of place?
No, everything looked to be in order.
Nothing further.
May we approach very briefly?
Yes.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Very briefly. Lieutenant Lenk, you indicated that you claimed in your description that you were assaulted by the Lobolito brothers, correct?
Yes.
The fact is, they were never convicted of anything having to do with this case, the case that you're describing. Isn't that true?
Correct.
You also indicated that they made a either a threatening comment to you or a disparaging comment to you about, I don't give a fuck, correct?
Correct.
Isn't it true that what was actually said was, you said to them, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to make your life miserable?
No.
All of this incident was in furtherance of you protecting a member of the Albert family when they asked for your help, correct?
No, it was me protecting someone who asked for my help who was clearly in fear.
Who happened to be an Albert.
Happened to be an Albert.
Thank you.
All right, you are all set.
Thank you,
sir. Lieutenant, you're all set, sir. Let's try and get some testimony from one more witness.
Yes.
And jurors, we will break right at one, but let's see if we can get more testimony. Who's your next witness?
Your Honor, the Commonwealth call, Lieutenant Charles Ray.
Okay.
You solemnly swear the image you give to the court and jury in the case now and here to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
The number of the exhibit, whatever it is. Goods.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the jury, please?
Charles Ray, R-A-E.
And how are you employed, sir?
I work for the Canton Police Department.
And how long have you been a member of the Canton Police?
Approximately 25 years.
And what rank or assignment do you currently have with the Canton Police?
I'm a lieutenant.
And how long have you had the rank of lieutenant with the Canton Police?
I've been a lieutenant for about 9 years.
And what, if any, sort of specialized duties or assignments do you have within the Canton Police Department?
Day-to-day, I'm going to be a patrol shift commander. Some ancillary duties include overseeing the Family Services Unit, which includes juvenile services, school resource offices, sexual assault investigations, and special populations.
And if I could turn your attention to January 29th, 2022, were you working that day?
I came in to work the day shift at about 7:30 a.m.
Okay, what is the day shift of the kid, please?
7:45 a.m. to 3:45 p.m.
And when you arrived that day at the department, what if anything was sort of going on at the department that day when you arrived?
Well, it was a well-forecasted snowstorm. It was in the early stages. So when I came in, there was a lot of, as there usually is at shift change, a lot of comings and goings, people leaving the shift, people coming onto the shift. It was a busy dispatch area at that time.
And at some point after you arrived at work, were you made aware of a call that your department had dispatched to shortly after 6 a.m. on that day?
Correct.
And so, just in general terms, what was it that you learned about that call?
The outgoing shift sergeant, when he returned, usually there's a roll call. I believe that day, I don't recall there being a roll call, but there was an exchange of information, as there typically is, in the dispatch area. And I was advised that there was an unresponsive man found in the snow on Fairview Road.
And that outgoing shift supervisor was who?
Sergeant Sean Good.
And what, if any, information were you given as far as the unresponsive man?
That he was a Boston police officer, and he was found at 34 Fairview Road.
Let me ask you this. At some point, did you learn what his name was?
Yes, Mr.
And who did you learn?
Mr. John O'Keefe.
And were you familiar with Mr. O'Keefe?
I had never met him before, no.
At some point, did you become aware of where he lived?
Yes.
And from what you had learned from Sergeant Good, in addition to Mr. O'Keefe being transported from the scene to the hospital, who, if anyone else, was transported from the scene to the hospital?
I was advised that his girlfriend was on the scene as well, and she was subsequently transported to Good Samaritan Hospital, the same hospital that Mr. O'Keefe was transported to.
And at some point over the course of that morning, did you become aware of any children that Mr. O'Keefe was responsible for as far as the legal guardianship?
Yes, I was made aware that he was the guardian of two young children that may or may not be at the house at that time unattended, given the fact that both he and his girlfriend were transported.
Based on that information, what, if anything, did you decide to do?
I'm not sure if it was a suggestion of the former chief or if it was just something that organically developed, but it seemed like the right thing to do a well-being check on the children at the at One Meadows Ave, which was Mr. O'Keefe's residence.
And just with respect to the former chief specifically, who are you talking about?
Ken Berkowitz.
And a well-being check, if you could describe to the jury, so what is involved in that and what does it entail as it applies to this situation?
As it applies to this situation, we believe that there may be two young unattended children, and knowing that both Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed wouldn't be returning to the house anytime soon, we wanted to check on them so that if they woke up and wonder where everybody was and need some assistance, that we could provide that and help locate other loved ones or bring them to the police station if we had to, just to kind of provide some sort of comforting presence.
And within the Canton Police Department, is there a specific cruiser that's allocated for sort of the shift supervisor?
Yes, 682.
And is that the cruiser that you used to go to One Meadows Ave?
We did.
And when you say we, who, if anyone, went with you?
Sergeant Lehan and I. He was the incoming sergeant.
And what, if any, role does Sergeant Lehan have with regard to the department? Specific role?
Now he's a detective sergeant and prosecutor. At that time, he was a shift sergeant.
And so... The 682 cruiser that you were driving, are you aware that that has a cruiser camera affixed to it?
Correct.
Have you had occasion to review that footage from that particular cruiser on that particular morning?
I have now, yes.
Your Honor, if I could ask to publish for the jury a portion of Exhibit 41.
Okay.
Gilman, if I could have that on the screen, if I could ask Ms. Gilman if you could fast forward to 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 53 seconds. And what's up on the screen right now, Lieutenant, do you recognize what that is?
That'd be the interior of Sally Port Door 3, which is where the 682 would have been parked.
And then from there is where you drove from that position to One Meadows Ave, correct?
Correct.
Ms. Gilman, if you could just run for about a minute. Gilman, if you could pause it there, and Ms. Gilman, if you could, I would ask you to fast forward to about 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 25 seconds. If you could play from there. Deposit there. What's up on the screen, Lieutenant? Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what do you recognize that to be?
One Meadows Ave.
And sort of toward the middle of the screen, is that sort of a front door to the home? Is that fair to say?
That's correct.
The door that you went to, is that the door, or did you go to a different door? If you know.
I don't remember which door we went to.
Now, with respect to this home, had you ever been there before?
No.
Subsequent to this, did you come to learn also that the residents of One Meadows Ave had cameras of its own?
Yes.
Have you seen camera footage from both the driveway and the front door from the residents from that morning when you were there?
Yes.
Now, as far as a well-being check, if you could just sort of physically describe to the jury, what is it that you're doing with regard to a well-being check when you come to a house like this?
We're going to check to see if there's anybody there, which is typically the case. And we're going to go knock on doors and see if there's any activity of anybody at the home.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could hit play. Pause it there, Ms. Gilman. Now, so it appears from this you pull into the driveway at One Meadows Ave, is that correct?
Yes.
And there's a vehicle directly in front of you, correct?
Correct.
And at the time, you were not aware of sort of the particulars of the incident that occurred earlier in the morning, correct?
Correct.
And Fair to say, from what's depicted up on the screen, was that essentially what the driveway looked like at that time when you came in there at approximately 8:23 in the morning, correct?
Yes.
And as far as when you went to knock on the door, are you just knocking on the front door and then no one answers and that's it? Or do you look around the house? What is it that you do on a well-being check?
You would go to the front door or the door that you think everyone would use in a whatever the situation was. You take a cursory glance around to see if there's any reason to check anywhere else. In this case, it's a fenced backyard, so I'm not going to be going back there. Because if in this case, we weren't looking for someone that might be a dead body. We were looking for two children that would be up and active.
Now, as far as that vehicle that's parked in the driveway in front of you, did you have any reason to look at it, inspect it, or anything like that at this point that you're at the house?
No.
And as far as any condition of it, specifically the right rear passenger side, you didn't have any occasion to go inspecting that or looking at it at that point, correct?
Correct.
Now, as far as your, from this video, the condition of the right rear passenger side and the condition vis-a-vis the left rear passenger side, that's how it appeared in the driveway when you pulled up, correct?
Correct.
Ms. Gilman, if you could hit play. The individual just sort of walked across the front of the cruiser. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And who is that?
That was me.
Your Honor, I'm not sure how. May we approach?
Okay. Right. Lieutenant, we're going to need you back tomorrow. We're going to break for today. Right,
okay.
So, jurors, that's it. You can stay just for a minute, please. That's it for today. We'd ask those same three, or I give you those same three cautions. Please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it. Let us know. We'll see you tomorrow morning. So report at 8:30.
Sure, you're leaving your notebooks on your kids and taking all your items with you. All rise, you're
you
all
me. I wasn't thinking about that. Yes. No, that's it for today. We're good. Thank you. You don't need me for anything, right?
No, I do not, Your Honor. No.
All rise, please.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid Simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Washablesofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid Simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. plus our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.